Good afternoon, sir. The Honorable Mr. Neal, we will be conducting your hearing, sir. So next voice you will hear will be Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Neal.
All right. Sorry.
Okay, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Would you please state your name and ABC number for the record?
Robert Kermit Johnson, 271-278.
Okay, you're there before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members at this time. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his right is the Honorable C.T., Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. To his right is the Honorable Willie Thomas, and to his right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Also in the room we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents four of us today. Prior to the hearing, you received the notification for an advisory of this board hearing, and I'm informed you were notified in your rank to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire an attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you going to represent yourself?
I'm speaking on my behalf.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to swear to you and Mr. Westby at this time. Will you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Okay, to start out with phase one, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the allegation number one, and after each allegation, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. There are four allegations on your warrant. The first one is a violation of your home condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about September 14, 2017 per the past GCMS lab report dated September 21st, 2017. That true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay. Allegation number two is violation of your home condition of supervision number 13B as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval was given to you by a supervising officer on or about October 21st, 2017. That true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay, allegation number three is violation of Arizona condition of supervision of 13B as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval was given to you by a supervising officer on or about October 22nd, 2017. Is that one true or false?
True, sir.
Okay. Allegation number four is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about October 23rd, 2017 per the task lab report dated October 24th, 2017. Is that one true or false, sir?
True.
Okay. It's on admission of Mr. Johnson. I want to find Mr. Johnson a delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in putting his plays over the company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, just a moment, sir. Too much paperwork.
I wish I didn't have to give it to you.
All right, we're going to move on to phase two now. But before we continue, Mr. Westby is going to give us some follow-up information about you.
Okay.
Mr. Weston.
Mr. Johnson was released from DOC on August 23rd, 2017.
He was arrested on October 23, 2017 by DOC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on October 23, 2017, with projected CCD of September 22, 2018, 0 scan days. Current conviction, 2012, molestation of a child, 2 counts, each for 7.5 years. Prior convictions, there are none. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score, 3-4. Mental health score, 3, with SMI noted. Substance abuse score, 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary is moderate, with threats, violence, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest, 2002, aggravated DUI, Arizona, county jail. 2003, aggravated DUI, Arizona, fine. 2006, aggravated DUI, Arizona, county jail. His community risk score is a G1V4. Mr. Johnson is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable, and dangerous crimes against children is cited in court docs.
Thanks, sir. We're going to move over a summary of your release. So when you were released, you didn't have residence, so you were approved to reside temporarily at 4006 West Van Buren Street in Phoenix, Arizona, on August 28, 2017. You were approved to reside transient near 15th Avenue and Watkins in Phoenix. You were approved to reside transient near 59th Avenue and Buckeye Road. That would have been on September 14th, they approved that one. So then, for the entire time you, or most of, okay, let's see, pretty much the entire time you were out, you were transient, correct?
Yeah, it was horrible.
I can just imagine. So as a clarification in my mind, when they release you transient like that to a location, 59th Avenue and Buckeye, how much latitude do you have in movement away from that spot without pre-approval? I mean, how can you wander?
Maybe 150 feet in each direction.
Okay. Beyond that, you have to have permission, like if you want to work, or even if you're going to go down the street to a grocery store, you have to have permission ahead of time. If you go beyond 150 feet?
Yeah, unless I need to use the restroom, then I had permission to go use the restroom real quick. But no, other than that, no.
Okay. So let's see, you referred a couple places for work, and you enrolled in AAI, I see. So.
Yep.
Oh, you only had 1 day before you were taken into custody, so. But at least you registered, were pushing, moving yourself toward getting some type of education for a career. Over the years, I've had a lot of encounters, so to speak, with the students from AAI and UTI also. And they've got some
very good schools.
Yeah, they got some good programs. And they don't, once you get in there, they don't allow you a lot of latitude either as far as skipping classes or missing time or anything. They're pretty good about staying on the students to make sure they stay on task.
Yeah, actually, the day I got arrested, I had messed up. I knew I had messed up, so I turned around and was just going to come turn myself in. Saturday, I was like, you know, honest, I thought I'd have a couple beers and go back to my corner. Well, life don't work that way. I missed my train and didn't get there, so I'm like, yeah, this is enough. They're going to arrest me. I missed curfew. I had alcohol, so I went and actually had to spend the night with my family because I haven't been seeing my family in almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I spent the night with my family, and then I was going to turn myself in, but the admissions director showed up, and he's like, I need you to come to school. I'm like, okay, I'll go to school. He's like, I'll talk to your parole officer. He's like, we need to get you out of this homeless situation. So the admissions director has halfway houses, he said, you can get me into.
Right.
But like I said, I got shows that I have arrested that evening, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him since then.
Right.
But he had talked to Mark Adams himself and was trying to, on my behalf, and he was, the admission director wasn't too happy with me anyways. He's an ex-military and he's like, you are kind of out of Florida.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to give them placing the students. You know, a lot of students come in from out of state and things change, finances change, and over the years I've seen them, they have access to agreements with halfway houses and even some of the apartments in the area, help them out with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, congratulations on that. That's a good move for the future. Okay,
that's actually one.
For programming, you signed and received a copy of the task instruction sheet and on September 19th. Your color was changed to turquoise at that time. Then you were directed on September 19th that you must begin reporting to task when a color turquoise is announced. And your testing history was, you had 1, 2, 3, 4. You had 6 drops, 4 with naive, then there was 1 with meth, then there was 1 with alcohol. So, you didn't realize that can get you put back in? Or do you have a severe, you apparently have a problem with alcohol, or you had before you were incarcerated? And,
yes.
Since you went back doing some art hop, you seem to still have that problem. Have you, while you're in, did you do any of the AA classes or any of that?
I did
AA classes.
When I was in SMU, I did some substance abuse class. It's something I should have been staying away from, and it was a bad decision to actually go down there anyways.
Okay, good. You haven't done your, any, while you're incarcerated, you didn't do anything with, an AA class or NA class, just a substance abuse class, right?
Just a substance abuse. No, I didn't go into NA or AA at all. They didn't have one where I was at. They're at Meadows. There wasn't one in Rhining or SMU.
Okay. That's those are good programs to help you along the way as far as clean yourself up. The drug abuse classes are. They're real good to get your head in the right direction, but they, when it's over, and at least with AA, you've got continuing support. That's something you need to consider.
Yes.
Whether you remain incarcerated or whether you go to tobacco pretty soon, maybe you need it. Really concentrate on alcohol abuse and drug abuse and get in those programs where there'll be continuing support for you instead of just out the door when the class is done. Okay. So, why couldn't you stay away from the meth and the alcohol? I mean, is it that much of an addiction? Because you were incarcerated for a while and it doesn't take, the alcohol or the meth is out of your system in a couple of weeks, so there's no more chemical addiction, but it's all psychological addiction after that.
The meth that I did was stupid. I actually did it, like I told Mark. I was honest. Everything I've gotten in trouble for, I've been honest about. I'm like, I was sitting there in a bad situation that I put myself in, because I went over there, I didn't know they'd be doing drugs. So I'm like, you know what? I'll take a few hits if it started making me feel bad, so I left. And the alcohol, I do have an issue with that. I start drinking and responsibility kind of goes out the window. And I should have done that before I decided to.
Well, especially with alcohol, but alcohol and drugs, all that, the first thing that goes when you start getting the least bit intoxicated with it is your judgment. And pretty soon you can't stand up, I'm not drunk. You know, I dealt with that for years too. That's another reason to go after the AA and NA type programs, is because when you feel like, yeah, you don't have that drink, or maybe I should do this meth or something like that, you've got people you can call, go see, they'll sit on you, hold you down, come burn you the way. So really, I think ABI is got the policy to show up with alcohol in your breath. I don't know if they'll kick you out of the program completely the first time, but they'll send you home. You can't stay if you're anything. Just like most of the alcohol pathway houses, you show up with alcohol in your breath, you're gone. So you have to, you have to learn, teach yourself to control the urges and have I don't know exactly what they call it in AA, but you'll have a sponsor, I guess is what they call it, but somebody they'll hook you up with that's been successful in their elimination of their demons, the demon alcohol. I'm going to ask the board if they have any questions at this time. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, do you have relatives here in Arizona?
Yes, the reason why I moved to Bidnet to Buckeyes is my mom's at 51st in Maryland, my stepmom's at 68th in Montebello, my sister's at 69th in Missouri, all my family's in Glendale right there,
okay.
Right near the school.
All right, so that's why I was wondering if you had relatives here. Why were you out of your zone during those period of times for those 2 days?
The first day is because I went to have a drink, thinking, okay, I'm going to have a couple of drinks, I'm going to go to my corner, I'm going to button down Monday and do my schooling. Life happens. I started drinking and was an idiot. Missed the light rail, so I missed my curfew, and then I know they're going to check where I'm at, so I had to walk back to Phoenix. I didn't even make it there. I went, got my stuff from my friend's house, took it over to my stepmom's, and I was going to turn myself on Monday, like I said. So Sunday night, I got my mom, my sister, my brother, and my other sister, because I haven't seen them in forever. And I spent the night with them, or late into the night, and then I went with my fiance, and we went to the bar right across the thing, had a game of pool, had a couple beers, and then we came back to my mom's house, and we stayed there till the morning when the admission director showed up.
All right,
and so I was going to turn I went to the school, I went ahead to the day of school, the admission director talked to Mark Adams, and then I called him after class, I'm like, hey, I messed up, I'm planning to come turn myself in. And that's where I was for the first, for the 2 days that I missed curfew.
Okay, so thank you.
Mr. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Johnson, is there a reason that you were released transient when you have all those relatives here and right in the area?
Well, because normally my mom has my niece and nephew at the house, but they weren't there. So that's the reason why I stayed there. And my sister would let me stay there, but she has a 17-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son.
I see. Okay.
And my mother and stepmother, her room doesn't stand.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Yep. Any questions? Sir?
Mr. Weston.
Oh, yes, sir.
I just want to provide some additional information. I was looking at the movement screen, and Mr. Johnson was at Meadows and Cook Unit from April 23rd, 2012 to September 28th, 2012 for a period of 5 months. And then between September 2nd, 2014 to May 22nd, 2015 for a period of 8 months. And then at Meadows Unit once again, May 2017 to August of 2017 for a period of 3 months. Both those units I've worked at, and I've had to sit in on AANA meetings at both those units and that, so they do have that program available if somebody was willing to attend it.
Okay, thank you. And sir, we're coming to the close of your hearing. The board will be going in discussion to make a determination whether or not to return to your community supervision or revoke it. But before we do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to give us any information that you think you might need to hear or want to hear. We only ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Okay. to the NA, the AA things, when I first got to prison, that's the last thing I was thinking about, doing some AA. This time that I've been here, I've noticed it's there. I haven't taken it. But like he did say that there is some there. I didn't even think about it. For the first 3 years in prison, I was nothing but a troublemaker, and my prison record covers that. The last thing I was thinking about was trying to do anything other than I got my GED, and that was it. The only reason why I came before ma'am and you gentlemen today is because I wanted to go to school. I put the money down for it. I'm willing to go to halfway house. There's a employee told me about a place called Blackwell that has substance abuse help. I don't care if I take a UA every day. I put money in that school. I want to finish that school. That's like my focus, that I want to get the school finished so I can actually have a better life. I mean, my life has been a wreck up to this point. Prison was kind of a wreck. I started kind of making things straight towards the end of my prison sentence. But when I got out, it's a little too much freedom. I kind of went a little bit sideways when I went straight, or should have gone straight. And that's the reason why I came up here today. Otherwise, I would have just said I don't care. But I want to go to that school and finish. And I have support to do so. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay. Well, did you have something else? Go ahead.
No, that's it, sir. That's all I had to say.
Okay, thank you. All right, the board's going to be doing the discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We might just stay on the phone and listen. But if you think we're talking to you, we won't be. We're just talking amongst ourselves within the board. So we just ask you to remain silent and listen, and we'll be back to you in a couple minutes.
Okay.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Sometimes I think I have too many mixed feelings. This gentleman has, over the years, has had quite a problem with alcohol. An aggravated DUI, there's several ways to do it, but it usually means a lot of previous problems. He really needs to get some good programming, I think, with like AA and NA. And I think that he'd be better served if he could do that while he's still incarcerated, get a little better control on those urges so that when he does get out, he can continue with his school and become a much more successful person in his life. But, so I'm willing to listen to my fellow board members. Anybody have any comments? Ms. Rittenhouse.
The only little consideration is that I hear the motivation about education. I'm hearing that really strongly in him, that he really wants to go to that school. And I don't think that school tolerates any alcohol use.
Well, they don't.
As you just said. Yeah. So if he was that motivated, which I think he is motivated, I'm not saying that I think we should think about this, because if he wants to go to school that bad, he does know that he can't be around alcohol to go to that school. And I'm not totally convinced that, it puzzles me that he hasn't taken advantage of AA. That does puzzle me. Yeah, because that's easy. That's on all the yards except the high custody where they can't be together in groups. But I'm just throwing that out for the board's consideration. I mean, we would be sticking our necks out. That's all.
Any other comments?
I'll just say that I agree with how you feel about this. Yeah. You know, I always try to balance out the time remaining with the behavior of the individual, and I think he's got some serious struggles with alcohol that have to be up front. Even though I absolutely respect that he's motivated to pursue his education right now, and I want to see him succeed, I think we all do, but I have that same set of concerns.
Yeah, the school is I mean, not tolerating the alcohol, but it's still really totally up to him.
Yes.
To make that decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, my problem is he, you know, went out, he got motivated, he put money on the school, he's coming up with all this stuff, then he turned around and still has some alcohol and stuff. And if he had a random UA, he'd have been, you know, violated just as much as he was this way with the, you know, turning himself in or anything. So we'll see how this goes. I'm going to make a motion to revoke Mr. Johnson's community supervision, and based on the fact that he does have an alcohol problem, and he can get some good programming while he's still incarcerated, and work real hard on putting his mind in the right place so when he gets out, he can be successful with that school, and not have to worry about whether he comes to class with alcohol in his breath and everything.
Second.
And that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Mr. Johnson, I'll be with you in just a second here. Okay, sir, first I'd like to commend you on your motivation to, you know, get an education that will benefit you the rest of your life. Some of your control. You're out there almost a month before you relapse. But even at that, with the UAs you had, there were most of them were negative. So you're not one of these people that's smoking or drinking every day and everything. So you're beyond that point as far as recovery. But I think you'd be better served to spend the rest of your time. You'll be out in September, which is about 9 months, but give you a chance to, and even the NA classes, even though it's for narcotics, it's still the same sort of thing to be able to help you get through all the little problems with cleaning yourself up from alcohol or drugs. So all that's really good programming. And in the meantime, between you and your CO3, see if you can't make the arrangement, because if you're going out to community supervision, DOC has to approve the location. That's why you were transient. But you're going to be getting out. You won't have anybody to approve your residency but you. But get with him and make sure that, because you are going to have some lifetime issues with the sex offender and regulations with that and how that goes. So you may have to still go to a halfway house when you get out. And there are some out there that will help prisoners, whether they're on supervision or whether they're released, because they want to see you get back in the community and succeed. But you can give your CO3 and give some names, places, even with AAI, and see if you can locate a good residence that you can move into instead of being on the street. I think you've had enough of the street life. It would take about 30 minutes for me to be homeless before I'd be upset with him. So, but we do wish you luck. We did vote to revoke your community supervision. Like I said, you'll be out September 22nd of 2018. And in the meantime, please do everything you can to get your programming, get yourself a little bit more straight in the head about your alcohol use and drug use. And if the meth was a first time sort of thing, total mistake, then you won't have as much trouble with it. But you need to get a handle on alcohol. So we do wish you all the luck in the world. It sounds like you've got some support out there, even if you can't live with them. They're there to support you and stuff. So we wish you all the luck in the world, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that'll end your hearing.